So then let's talk about Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Probably heard prophecies. We probably heard the Christmas story many times before. Maybe culturally, maybe really personally. Many of us know what Isaiah wrote around 700 years before Jesus was actually born, before it actually happened. So Isaiah talked about Jesus, talked about his birth, talked about Christmas, and he said this: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." Now, we could spend many Sundays just talking about this one verse. What does it really mean that Jesus is wonderful? What does it really mean that he is wonderful to you, to me, not just to everyone, but to us personally? How wonderful it is that he sacrificed himself so that we could have life, so that we could have eternal life. How wonderful it is that he sacrificed himself on the cross for our sins. We could spend a lot of time talking about Jesus, our counselor, that he guides us, that he doesn't leave us alone. He doesn't just leave us by ourselves, but he's there personally for us. He guides us. He speaks to us. He has a good plan for our lives. We could talk a lot about the mighty God, that Jesus is in control of this world. This world is going more and more crazy with wars and all kinds of things that are happening right now. But nothing in this world surprises Jesus. Nothing is beyond his control. We could talk a lot about the everlasting Father. We could talk a lot about a relationship that we can have with God. I know the word father doesn't always create positive associations for everyone, maybe because of our earthly father. Sometimes we think when we hear the word father, our initial reaction is negative. But we all know how a father should treat his child, what the father-child relationship is supposed to look like. And Jesus made a way for us to have just that kind of relationship with God as well. That God is our Father, and he treats us as his precious child. These are all aspects we could and should spend a lot of time on. And throughout our Christian walk, we should really meditate on these things and really take that to heart. How deep God's love is, how these aspects of Jesus apply to our own lives, and how we can allow God to direct our lives because of these truths. But today, I want to look at the last of these elements, the last of these prophecies that Isaiah has given us. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Peace is a theme that we can find many times throughout the whole Bible. If you look at it, how often did an angel appear to people or something like that? And what was often one of the first things that he said? Peace be with you. We find it also a lot in the Christmas story, the story of the shepherds. We looked at this story in much more detail last week. You can listen to it online again. When the angels were in the sky praising God, what did they say? What did they sing? How did they praise God? Luke 2, suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." What was the one significant thing that Jesus would bring to this earth that we could receive, according to the angels here? Peace. We can receive peace. Why? Because of Jesus. Because Jesus was born. And because of what he would do in the 33 years to come. There's also a fascinating story. It's not directly part of the Christmas story, but it's 1 week later. It's right after Christmas. Jesus is 8 days old. Mary and Joseph do their religious duty, bring Jesus to the temple to dedicate him. And there they meet a man named Simeon, who was waiting for them. Luke 2, verses 25 to 35. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So what happened to Simeon here? He's an old man. We don't know how old exactly he was, but we do know the time of his death was near. God told him, you will not die before you see the Messiah. You will not die before you see the baby that will save you eventually. And so one day, he's led by the Spirit. Spirit tells him, go to the temple now. He sees a baby, and supernaturally he knows, this is it. This is the Son of God. This is the baby that would save the world. This is the Messiah. Pretty fascinating when you think about it. I mean, the temple was a busy place. Lots of people there, going there, praying every day. Lots of people. Later on, as we read then in the last week of Jesus, you know, they were selling stuff. So this was a really busy place compared to Marienplatz, or something like that. So really, dozens, hundreds of people coming in and out all the time. And then suddenly, he sees this baby, and he's like, this is it. Now, there was nothing outwardly. Jesus didn't wear a t-shirt saying, I am God, obviously. But somehow, supernaturally, he saw it, and he knew, this is who I've been waiting for. And what is his response? He is able to say, now that I've seen this baby, I can depart in peace. I don't know how you would feel about that, but it's fascinating when you compare that. I mean, death, for most people, is the worst thing that could happen to us. It's the one thing that most people are most afraid of. The one thing they don't want to talk about, they want to ignore. And they want to just feel like, okay, I think I could live forever. Or at least I try to pretend that I live forever because I don't want to deal with the topic of death. And what did Simeon do? He saw Jesus and he said, now I have peace. Now I can depart. Now I can leave this earth. Now I can die. He received peace the moment he met Jesus. Why? Well, we don't know when he received this prophecy or when he was told that he would not die, but it's possible that he waited for many years, maybe for 10, 20 years, and God told him, you will see the Messiah before you're going to die. And he got older and older and older. Death was coming closer and closer. And he was like, I don't have much time left. Where is the Messiah? God, you told me. And now he finally met him. And what did it remind him of? I'm sure it reminded him of God's faithfulness. I'm sure it reminded him, wow, God really kept his promise. I've been waiting all this time, maybe years, maybe decades. I was waiting for the Messiah, and God kept his promise. Before I died, I actually saw him. I'm sure the fact that Jesus was born assured him that this baby would actually die for him, that this baby would actually pay for his sins. It assured him God keeps all his promises. It assured him God takes care of me. It assured him God is faithful. And so he was absolutely sure, God will take care of me when I die as well. I know where I'm going. I know because I have seen this baby, I will enter God's kingdom. Because I know of God's faithfulness, I have experienced God's faithfulness, I have experienced how God keeps all his promises. And if he does it with a small thing like this, that I see the Messiah on this earth before I die, I have confidence in the future as well. I know all God's promises are true. I know where I'm going. Now I can die in peace. So what is peace? Well, the original word can be translated as peace. It can also be translated as quietness. It can also be translated as rest. We can experience peace when we know that God will take good care of us. When we truly know God loves me. When we truly know God is my Father and he treats me well. When we truly know God keeps all his promises. When we are assured that God has a good, a pleasing, and a perfect will for my life. When we know God guides me. When we know God cares for me. When we know that God acts on my behalf. When we believe all these things from our hearts, we will have peace. And all these promises are available to us because of Jesus. That's why his arrival, that's why his birth brings us peace in today's world. On the flip side of the same coin, we don't have to make things happen ourselves. We know God will protect us. We know God will provide for us. We will know that God will bring us to heaven. And all these assurances, if we truly believe all these things, they will give us peace despite the circumstances we are facing. In this world, our circumstances will always try to take away our peace. Think of the two major wars that are happening right now that are threatening to spread maybe all over the world very soon. Think of diseases and pestilences like COVID that we all went through recently. Think about financial and work pressure that we all experience. The world is putting more and more pressure on us. We face more and more uncertainties year by year. We are expected to perform better and faster in nearly every aspect of our lives. Society is getting so fast that we feel like we have no possibility to rest any longer. And so often when we take a rest, we feel guilty and we feel like we are doing something wrong. Instead, we should work, we should perform better. I grew up on a farm. I experienced a much more traditional life as a child. And obviously this is not everybody's childhood, but the difference is really staggering. When I go back to visit my family, more traditional life, life is so much slower. It's so much more comfortable. And there's far less pressure on the people there in the small village where I grew up compared to what we experience here in a city like Munich. They experienced way less stress in their days compared to our lives today, my parents and the generations before me. Less stress on a daily basis, rest on weekends, less pressure from society around them. And I even see that now, how it has changed. My brother took over the farm from my parents and how much more pressure he experiences now compared to my parents 30, 40 years ago. It's a huge change just in one generation. I wonder where this will go. I wonder how busy life will be 2-3 generations from now, and what my grandkids and their children and so on, what they will be going through as this world is getting more and more hectic, more and more chaotic, and more pressure from all sides. This world is doing everything it can to take away our peace. more and more pressure, more and more expectations, and less rest, less time to rest. Instead, we just receive worries and uncertainties from all angles. That's what we are facing. That's what this world is like, and that's what's going to get worse and worse the longer this world goes on. And many people try to cope with these pressures in very unhealthy ways. Think about drugs and alcohol, how that has increased. Think about the rise of pornography and what a business that has become. Again, compared to when I was a child, it has grown incredibly. Think about TV and video games and all these things, how many people seek pleasure and seek rest in these things. And why do these addictions increase more and more year by year? Because people don't know how to find rest. Because that's how people try to find rest from the pressures of this world. They break under the pressure that they are facing every day. But thankfully, there is a way out, finding peace in Jesus. Trusting in God's promises and receiving from Jesus what this world can never give us. Let's look at some of the promises that Jesus gave us. John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus promised us peace. Peace that goes beyond this world. Peace that is not dependent on what is happening around us. Peace that this world cannot take away. Jesus promised he would give us peace within. Peace that would enter our hearts that cannot be taken away by anyone or anything. John 16, 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus never promised that we would have no problems. I think that's very sad when some people go around and they share the gospel and they say, once you're a Christian, then everything will be good and you have no problems any longer. Jesus never promised that. But what did he promise? He did promise that in all those tribulations, all those difficulties, all those pressures that we would be facing from this world, he would give us peace. Peace that is bigger than these problems that we are facing. Peace that is more important than the problems of this life. Think back to Simeon. He was about to die, but he had peace. Why? Because in light of God's promises, in light of everything that God had done for him, in light of God's faithfulness, in light of the hope that he had to enter God's kingdom after dying on this earth, in light of all of that, he said, it doesn't matter if my earthly life ends. It's a good thing, because I will enter God's kingdom. And there, I will be fully fulfilled, completely fulfilled. I will be full of joy. I will be full of peace. And I will be there eternally. We have a promise that is bigger than our earthly lives. We have promises from God that are bigger than money. We have promises from God that are bigger than fame. We have promises that are bigger than relationships, that are bigger than sex and all these things. Everything that this world can offer us is nothing in light of God's promises. And that's why we can have peace on this earth. Even if we lose something that seems important, we get a sickness, we get a doctor report that is devastating. We lose our jobs, we lose money, we lose a loved one. In the midst of God's promises, these things are really secondary. We can have peace because Jesus is with us. Another promise, Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This was me this last month, and I think my whole family was like that. The whole month of December, we were all looking at our calendars and we were saying, when is December 22nd? We were just tired, we were just exhausted, and we were just looking forward and saying, we need this Christmas break. We were all physically, emotionally just drained. But what did Jesus promise us? He will give us rest. We can have rest in his presence. Rest and peace are not exactly the same, but they are closely linked. If we have one, we also have the other. If we are missing one, we also don't have the other. If we have rest, we have peace. If we don't have peace, we don't have rest. It's not the same, but one doesn't go without the other. Jesus promised to all of us, we can have rest. We can have rest in the midst of work. We can have rest in the midst of pressure. We can have rest in the midst of all the expectations that this world is throwing at us. It's available to everyone, because he said, all of you, that includes you, that includes me, we can have rest. But what do we have to do? We have to come. We have to take the first step. We have to be the ones that say, I'm going to come to Jesus. He's available to all of us. He's available to you. He's available to me. But if we want to experience that rest, we have to choose to come to him. We have to take the first step. We have to come into his presence. We have to go to him and seek him. That includes things like praying. That includes things like reading God's word. That includes things like spending time with the church community. But if we do that, his promise is we will find rest. And when we find rest, we also have peace. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Jesus never promised that he will give us everything we ask him for. Sometimes people have this perception that once I'm a Christian, I can ask to win the lottery, and I can ask for the biggest car, and I can ask to be famous, and Jesus will just give it to me. No, that's never what he promised. But what did he promise according to this verse when we pray? Peace. We might not get what we want, or we might not get what we ask for in the first place. But one thing we can be absolutely sure, when we bring our requests to Jesus, he will give us peace. My family and I, we did go through some challenges during our last close to 17 years. Next week it will be 17 years that we are married. When we were pregnant with Anna, my wife got a report that she contracted rubella during the pregnancy, which could have been devastating for the child. We had financial situations that were absolutely uncertain. We had times when we didn't have enough income, all kinds of things. Now, did God always take away all these problems immediately when we prayed? No. We had months, like in this case, we had to wait 4 or 5 months. There was nothing doctors could do. We had to wait 5 months until she was born to know whether the child was actually affected. That wasn't fun. But you know what happened every time we prayed? We had peace. And we came to the point where we were able to surrender. We came to the point where we were able to say, you know, even if this child is disabled, we love her. Now, we didn't know whether she was a girl at the time, but now we can say we love her. She is our child. God is in control. And even there's some disability or something, we have peace in God's presence. The greatest gift, or one of the greatest gifts of prayer for me personally, is not that we get stuff. It's not that we get what we want. It's that whenever we go to God, we receive peace. We have a promise of God's protection. Psalm 91, 9 to 16. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation, there shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the serpent shall you trample under your feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. God promised to protect us. It was interesting to me a few years ago when this whole COVID mess started, how different some people responded. Some people were so scared, and they really thought they would lose everything. And some people just had total peace. And I know many people, they were not afraid. Why? Because they trusted in verses like this. They trusted in God's promises like this. They trusted that even if I catch it, even if I get sick, it doesn't matter. God is in control. God can heal. And even if I die, I'll be like Simeon, and I'll be able to say, I can depart in peace because I know where I'm going. God protects. God is with us. He's for us. And if we truly believe in verses like Psalm 91, we can have peace in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of a war, in the midst of terrible situations. We know that God will provide, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We don't need to worry about finances. We don't need to worry about retirement. We don't need to worry about a place to live. Why? Because God promised that he will provide for all our needs. And if we trust that God will provide for all our needs, we can find rest, we can find peace. Even when we lose a job, even when things go south, even when something really unexpected happens and suddenly we lose a lot of money, we are able to say, you know, God will provide for me. That gives us peace. Doesn't mean that we can just be lazy, because God still expects us to work and he expects us to do our part. But we do know God will provide for all our needs. And in that we can have peace. Guidance. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A shepherd guides his sheep. A shepherd knows what his sheep need, and what does he do? He guides them to the places where their needs will be met. The Bible is full of verses that tell the same thing. Jesus said the same thing in John 10. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. God wants to guide us. God speaks to us. God has a good plan for our lives. God knows what is best for us. The question is not, will God guide you? The question is, do we allow God to guide us? God will guide you, God will guide me, God will guide anyone who asks him. The question is, Are we listening? Are we seeking God? Are we listening? And are we obeying what he's saying? Or are we then in the end just doing what we think is right? If we know that Jesus is my good shepherd, and if we know that we are trying to follow him to the best of our abilities, it takes the pressure off ourselves. We don't need to figure out our own lives. Jesus already knows, and Jesus already has a perfect plan. All we have to do is follow him. That'll give us peace. There we can rest. Then love. Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given unto us. God's love is available to us. It's not just theory. It's not just something we will experience in the future when we go to heaven. God's love is available to you, to me, today. A day that changed my life, December 5th, 2004. That was when I was first filled with the Holy Spirit. That's when I had my very first encounter with God's love, personally. Until that day, I read about God's love, and I heard about it, and if you had asked me, does God love me, I would have pointed to the Bible and said, yeah, of course God loves me. Here are the verses, so yes, he does. But it wasn't personal. It was just theory. It was just something that was happening in my head, something I believed in, but I didn't really personally encounter it. On that particular day, I was just filled with the Holy Spirit, and that day changed my life completely. Before that day, I just felt pressures. I was so aware of my sin. I was brought up Catholic, so I felt very guilty because of all the things that I heard in that church and all the things that I believed, what I now can say was not really biblical. And so I always felt like because of all the sin that I had committed in all these years before I was a Christian, now I had to make up. Now I had to be a super Christian to make up and to make good for all the sins that I had committed in the past. And I never felt good enough. I always felt this pressure to perform, and I always felt like I had to do everything in the church so that God will one day accept me. But when I encountered God's love, everything changed. And from that day onward, I realized God accepts me the way I am. I don't have to perform. I don't have to make up. He has already forgiven me. And I can now live a different life. I don't need to impress him. I don't need to reach a certain standard. He just loves me the way I am. What was one of the things I received because of that encounter? Peace. Because before that day, I was not sure whether I was accepted by God. From that day onwards, I knew God loves me and God has accepted me the way I was, the way I am. That gives peace. So these are just some promises for this life, but of course the promises for now are nothing compared to the promises we have for eternity. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Whatever promises from God we can receive in this life are really nothing compared to what is waiting for us in God's kingdom. Those who enter God's kingdom, for those a perfect life awaits. Everything will be perfect. We will see God face to face. We will spend eternity there together with him. And we won't be able to understand it. We won't be able to describe it to each other. But what Paul is saying here is clear. It's beyond our imagination. It'll just be absolutely perfect. All the troubles that we are facing now, all these uncertainties that we are facing, all the pressures that we are facing now in this world, it will all end. And instead, it will just be perfect. the greatest source of peace we could ever find. Everything in this world, all the negative things, will cease to exist. If that doesn't give us hope, if that doesn't give us peace in the midst of these uncertainties, I don't know what does. So let's bring it back to Christmas. This weekend, or officially tomorrow, we are celebrating that Jesus was born around 2,000 years ago. But I want to encourage all of us to go beyond the historic event, but to make this Christmas personal. The announcements of Jesus' birth over and over included the announcement of peace. Jesus was born, it would bring peace to mankind. It would bring peace to everyone. It would bring peace to you. It would bring peace to me. We all need peace. How do I know? Because we live in this world. And as long as we live in this world, the society, the environment will try to take away our peace. Every day, all the time. But peace is available. We don't have to allow this world to take away the peace from us. We can be recharged. We can be refilled with peace day after day after day. So I want to encourage all of us, let's spend this Christmas season seeking God's peace personally, not just reading about it, not just hearing about it, not just believing it in our heads, but really going to God and really seeking God and asking Him for peace. That it will not just be theory, it will not just be something we read about in the Bible, it will not just be something you hear about in a message like this, but it will be something that we will personally experience, something that we personally encounter, and something where we will be able to say, I have received God's peace, and I live differently because He has given me peace. May we pray. Jesus, thank you for bringing peace to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that you were willing to leave heaven, to leave the heavenly places, to become one of us, and to live among us for 33 years. And thank you that you are still working today. You are preparing a home for us. You are preparing a place for us where we will spend eternity, and it's a perfect place, and we're so grateful for all of that. And Lord, it's so easy for us to lose our focus and to just look at our bank account or look at our relationships or that are not what they are supposed to be, or look at our future, at the uncertainties of the future, or look at the world news. And it's so easy to then just get dragged into this world again, to get dragged into the uncertainties of this world again, and to be overcome with worries, with anxieties, with fears, and with all these things that try to take away the peace that we can have. Jesus, please remind us next time when these things come to us again, when these things try to pull us away from you again. Help us remember that in you there is peace. In you we can have hope. In you we can have rest. In you, if we remain in you, these things will not be able to take away the peace that you are giving us. So please help us to remember this promise and help us to do our part. To really come to you, to really seek you, to spend time with you, to spend time with you alone, to spend time with you in the church community, spend time with you with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to really live differently in the new year. that we will not be overcome by this world. We will not be overcome by the worries of this world. We will not be overcome by the things that happen around us. But we will find peace and we will find rest in your presence day after day. Help us to live differently and help us to stand on the promise that you've given us. For the glory of your name we pray. Amen. As usual, take a few moments and just listen to God, speak to him.